All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning. All right, praise God. Yeah, thank you guys. And it's exciting, right? It's raining. You know what? It's okay. Some of us are getting a little bit of sprinkle, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're excited about our candidates that are coming up for baptism. So we're going to have our brother Tony. We're going to have everybody. It's for support, right? I'd like to have everybody come up to the front. So I'm missing Lily. Let's hear it. Sign up behind Tony on this side. All right. Angelina, Nicholas coming up, Jasmine, Lily, and Susanna. Praise God. So it's really exciting. It's our first time doing baptism here at Christ Community Church. It's a big deal, guys. We always say it's a huge and exciting thing. So it's exciting for us to be able to encourage, to pray, to love our brothers and sisters as they're taking this next step. And we talked about baptism class on Tuesday, and we got together and we read through the scriptures, and we made sure that everybody knew what they were doing. We made sure that we go through about what the profession of faith means and why we baptize, right? And there were some questions, you know, the questions, why maybe oftentimes in our culture and our tradition, we're baptized as children, or sprinkled is what we call it, but at the same time, we talk about at Christ Community Church, we baptize what we see in the Bible. We baptize the way that we saw Jesus in John chapter 1 baptized. We talked about Philip and the eunuch, and he was saying, "Do you believe?" And he says, "Yes, I believe." And he says, "What's stopping you from getting baptized?" He says, "Nothing." He says, "There's water right there. Let's go do it." Right? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, there was another key verse there that says, as soon as the Jews who ripped to the heart after Peter had given his amazing message, they said, "What do we do now? We didn't know. What should we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Amen. And so what we're doing here is we're here to encourage our brothers and sisters in their own step of faith. We always say that baptism is a declaration publicly of the commitment we've already made to Jesus Christ in our heart. Amen. So it's a little nerve-wracking. You guys heard that in terms of fear, public speaking is the number one fear of people, right? What's number two? Death. I don't know if you guys know that. So people are more afraid to give the eulogy. Somebody said your spouse. No. No, you're not afraid. You're going to have marriage counseling in the sign-up sheet in the back. But no, oftentimes it's the fear of public speaking, because oftentimes people are looking and all the eyes are on you. So let's just encourage our brothers and sisters. They get hung up a little bit. It's not a big deal. We're within family, right? So we want to encourage everybody. And some of them are going to be a little bit longer. We said, hey, you have 2 to 3 minutes. Some folks are just going to be short and sweet and to the point, because at the end of the day, right, it's an outward expression. It's not always about we have to be so eloquent and put together all these things. It's just more about what God is doing in our hearts, right, and his goodness. Amen? So I'm going to invite my brother Tony. He's going to go first. And let's encourage them. All right, let's see. It's on. You want to use the table?
No.
All right.
Hello. My name is Tony Silva. The reason I'm getting baptized is because I want to follow the Lord. And my life before Christ hasn't been a good one. I've done a lot of bad things. But now that I've accepted Jesus into my life, I feel like I have to keep going and do what God wanted me to do. My favorite verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. I just feel this is the right time to do it. And I praise God for that. Thank you.
Good job, brother. All right. Up next is Lily. And I know she has... We do all things here, guys. You know, we sing, we set up, tear down. We do the AV here, too. We're looking for volunteers. Before we start, hey guys, this is an important milestone in my family, right? If you guys don't know, Lee's my one and only favorite daughter. She has truly been a blessing to our home. And it's a big mom to be able to share this moment together, but to be able to share it with our church family as well. So, love you, girl.
Oh, I hope this isn't too long. Look at all this. Oh, boy. Hello, my name is Liliana Rodriguez. You all usually see me doing announcements with Genevieve and JD, singing and worship, or just running around the church. My whole life, I've always been a Christian since my parents were both Christian, and I basically grew up at Lifehouse Valley Church. And when mom and dad told me that we were moving and we were starting a new church, I was worried because, like, I've gotten so used to Lifehouse and just going. But now that we came here to C3 and that I actually had to get involved behind the scenes and to do things, I've never really been this close to God before, despite knowing him all my life and going through all the classes when I was younger. And I've never paid closer to attention in church, and this is probably the most I've ever wanted to be close to Jesus, and from there I just want to grow closer. And through baptism, I'm going to take another step so that I can develop a deeper and more authentic relationship with Christ. An important part in the Bible for me that is influential was in Numbers chapter 14, when out of all the people that Moses had sent into the promised land by order of God, only two people out of all the 12 were confident, and they said, "We have God with us. Let's go into the promised land. Let's take it." And everyone else was like grumbling, and they didn't want to listen to them. They were doubting. Let's go back to Egypt. And they literally wanted to stone those two. And yet the two of them still chose to stand strong in Christ and to believe in his abilities. And I feel like it's not that serious now. I don't think anyone's going to want to stone me. But, you know, it's important. Even though when other people are doubting you and they're judging you, I think it's still good and important that you remember God's power and sovereigns, and that you just do what he says and to carry out his word. And through this baptism, like I said before, I want to take that step and to tell the world that I'm choosing to follow Christ and the one true God. Thank you.
That was like awkward. Lily's like, "Do I kiss my dad on the cheek or not?" what a great moment, honestly. God is good. Amen. All right. Up next, we're going to have, at this point, Jenny is going to read a few of the testimonies for some of the candidates. And so as she reads them, we're going to have that person come and stand next to her. So she's going to start off with, it looks like, looking at the names,
Lily.
So come on.
My name is Lily. In my life before Christ, I never knew him. Now I am giving my life to him. Now that I know Christ, I feel like he will protect me no matter what, and he will always be with me. My favorite Bible verse is Romans 5:8. I invite you to come and learn about God.
All right, up next, we have Jasmine. So come on up, Jasmine. You know, this is a true story. We had the baptism class, and we almost never hear her speak. You know, like, so it was really nice. We were going around actually having different people read in different portions. And for as being as quiet as she is, we said it, she's like, she has a really soft voice. But it's really nice to hear. So, hey, it's God's gift, right? I know she's going to read it for you, be encouraging all the gifts and talents that God has given you. So anyway, I don't want to take too much away, but it was just a really cool moment when we did the baptism class. Because I know she's super shy here. Even when today, this morning, I said, are you going to read your testimony? And then she's like, she didn't say yes Or no, she just gave me a thumbs up, so I thought that was really cute. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jasmine. In my life before Christ, I didn't know who Jesus was. Then we started reading the Bible as a family. In my life with Christ, we have been praying and reading the Bible more. My favorite Bible verse is Matthew 5:9. I also invite you to come and learn about God.
All right, so I'm going to read Nicholas's testimony. Come on up, Nicholas. Good job. All right, so my name is Nicholas. In my life before Christ, I didn't know him. And then we started reading the Bible together, and I got closer to him. Now in my life with Christ, I know he is always with me. My favorite Bible verse is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord, right? Lean not on your understandings, and he will make all your paths straight. I invite you to come learn more about God. Amen. Good job, Nicholas. All right. And I'm going to invite Angelina up. And she's going to do her own.
My name is Angelina. My life before Christ was not a life because without Jesus, there is no life. I wasn't close to Jesus. I didn't know about him that much. I used to think being a good person alone would get you into heaven. I didn't know we had to get to know and be close to Jesus and worship him in order to get eternal life with him. But now I know. The reason I came to Christ was because me and my family decided to sit down one day and start reading the Bible. We started reading it every day and praying every day. We got to know him more. My life with Christ is the best, although there are still some struggles. But I get through them because of Jesus. Because with Jesus, you can get through anything. My favorite Bible verse is Philippians 2:5. It's my favorite because it tells us to have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had. The more we grasp what Jesus has done for us, the more we will be moved to have the same attitude, the same mindset of Jesus. I encourage you to get to know God's word because he can change your life. He can get you through tough times. I found a lot of peace and strength in my relationship with God, especially during tough times. Once you get to know his word, you will be amazed by how wonderful and good he is. God loves you and is always there for you no matter what. He gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins because of how much he loves us. So I encourage you to get to know him and read his word because you will not regret it.
All right. And last but not least, we have Susanna. Come on up. And Stephanie is going to be reading her testimony.
So I just want to say, Susanna, that you're doing a great job with your kids. Teacher Jasmine says when the kids go to class, they really know the Bible. So I just thank you for that. Yeah. So I'm going to read Susanna's testimony. And if I cry, then I cry. Okay. Hi, my name is Susanna. In my life before Christ, I didn't know much about God. I attended church rarely. Then I started reading the Bible with my family. I started learning more about God and how amazing he truly is. In my life after Christ, there are still some struggles. We will always have those. But I know God is always right next to me, fighting those struggles with me, protecting me from any harm. My favorite Bible story is the one with the woman that had been bleeding for many years because she was healed with just her faith. I encourage you to come and learn more about God. He is an amazing God.
Amen. 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 Wow, great job, everybody. Right? It feels like it's let's give a round of applause again. Can I have you guys fill in the gap real quick? I'm going to have our C3 launch team come on up. I want to have a time of prayer, right? And if God is moving you, come on up and join us in prayer. It's not a big deal. If you can't, stand where you are. And just have you extend a handout so we can pray over our candidates. It's important, right? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in the life of our brothers and sisters that are up here that are professing that you are their Lord and Savior. They want to take that next step of faith with you, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you meet them there, Lord God. You are an awesome God. We know that you will never leave us or disappoint, Lord God. And Lord, we know that you're going to continue to see the work that you started, Lord, in the life of every single brother and sister that's here, Lord God. I pray that you protect them, Lord. You strengthen them in their walk. They continue to dive deeper and have that hunger and the desire to want to get closer to you. Just an unsatiable appetite for your word and to be close to you, Lord God. To have that be the desire of their heart to know more of you. Just to be connected, Lord, through the Father, filled with the Spirit, through the Son. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, Lord. We pray right now against the attacks of the enemy, Lord God, over their lives, over their family, over their home, Lord God. We know that when we take a step of faith forward, we know, Lord God, that the enemy would like nothing better than to derail our walk, would like nothing better than to come in and intercede for the plans or get in the way, Lord, interrupt for the plans that you have, Lord, for the lives of our brothers and sisters, Lord. So we stand in the gap. And we rebuke the enemy in your name, Lord Jesus. There's no place or time, Lord God. Victory is already won in your name, Lord God. And we claim it, Lord God. We claim it by the blood of the cross that we're going to learn about more today. And this week we're going to celebrate. You have victory, Lord God. Not over the enemy, but over even death, Lord God. So, Lord, we entrust our brothers and sisters. And as a church body, that we continue to surround them with love and encouragement. That we continue to gather, Lord God. Continue to deepen our relationship with them, Lord God, as a church body. It's the way that you've commanded us to do, Lord God. Thank you again for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you again for your doing in every single one of their lives, Lord God, and in the life of this church body, Lord God. We love you, Lord God, and we profess that you are God and you are good, Lord. So thank you again for giving us this day. Rain or shine is the day that you have ordained for these baptisms, Lord God. So thank you, Lord God, again. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Good job, Tom. This time, our candidates are going to go ahead and have a seat. But man, that was just awesome to see. Amen? All right. All right. We do have class today, so the little kiddos are here. You're going to see Teacher Jasmine walking around. She's in the sweater right there. She's waving. So if you have your kids are going to be going to class, let's go ahead and have them meet Teacher Jasmine over here by the door on the east side of the building. And then we're going to pray over them before we release them as well. Amen? All right. Please join me in prayer. Father God, thank you again for this morning and for this day. Lord, we just pray that you continue to be with our children, Lord God. They're the next generation, the future, and the hope. Not only for this church, but for the world, Lord God. And so I just pray that you would anoint their lesson, be with Teacher Jasmine, that she fills them, Lord God, planting those seeds, Lord, of who you are in their life, Lord God. We love you. In Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Praise God. I'm ready to go do the baptisms already, you know. It's exciting. Did everybody get a copy of the fill in the blank or the bulletin this morning? If you didn't, we can have somebody pass some out. So here at the church, we take notes. You know, we're like, man, I came to church, I was a guest, and now you want me to do homework? Necessarily, but we're big believers, and this is true, right? If you don't write down anything that somebody tells you, you usually will forget it within 72 hours. Sorry, 72 days. You'll definitely have forgot it. But if you don't write it down, odds are you'll forget it within 72 hours, 95% of what you heard, which is why it's important that we take notes. And, you know, I visited a brother's house, and he actually puts it right in a place that he frequents often, which is the fridge. So that's me too, brother. I'm just kidding. It's all good, right? I love that, though. Honestly, I do. But again, welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Michael Rodriguez, the lead pastor. We've been talking about... We've been getting ready for Easter for the last 4 weeks. This is the fifth sermon in that series. The series is called Against All Odds. And today's sermon is called The Triumphant Entry. A Triumphant Entry. Because today, you guys know what it is, right? It's Palm Sunday, right? Palm Sunday. And so we're going to read a little bit more from the scriptures about what that meant. But it's also important. In the last 4 weeks, we've been spending a lot of time talking about the prophecies that have been fulfilled in the Old Testament when Jesus came, how he was arrested, falsely accused, the mock trial that he had, and then ultimately how he was put on the cross. So we're picking up again, and we're going to cover into We're going to get to Palm Sunday. But it's very important that we always say these things that happened, right, there's always a lot of prophecies that have been fulfilled. And so the first piece of scripture that we're going to read today, this morning, let me get to there, is going to be in the Old Testament. And it's, this pink folder is like very, it's throwing me off. It's okay. The first of the prophets we spent a lot of time talking about was the prophet Isaiah, right? We spent a lot of time in the last 4 weeks reading out of Isaiah 53 and the 24 different prophecies that were told about Jesus Christ, how he was going to be arrested, how he was going to be silent, how he was going to be put through that mock trial, and ultimately he was going to surrender his life on the cross for us, for our salvation. But that was 700 years before Christ. There was another prophet that prophesied the events that took place at Palm Sunday, and his name is Zechariah. So Zechariah lived 500 years B.C. So I just said, Isaiah was 700 years. 200 years later, somebody else came along, a prophet named Zechariah. He's a minor prophet, and he wrote about the day that we call Palm Sunday in Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9. And he said this. He said, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." See, during his prophetic days, if you guys know the Old Testament history, Israel had already been exiled, right? The walls weren't even rebuilt yet. So he's even prophesying, interestingly enough, again, you guys know what happens, right? Who came in and beat up on the Israelites and some of them captives? I'm going to give you guys, anybody, pop quiz? It begins with Baba and ends with Lonians. Man, you guys are so smart. That's why I knew. You guys are the smartest church around here. But the Babylonians had already come through and pretty much destroyed the walls, destroyed the gates, had taken the Israelites captive. And so now Zechariah is even telling them that, hey, the walls have been rebuilt already by this time. You guys remember? And he's telling them that their king was going to be coming along riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, up here, it's a little bit different because we have the American Standard Version. That's a whole other story about all this. We've been having some more technical issues. I'm telling you, the enemy is mad at us today because we're doing baptisms. We had a bunch of issues this morning, but thank God we were able to move forward, right? So what are the odds that those prophecies would be coming true, right? Against all odds, right? We talked about it. Against all odds, the 24 prophecies coming true from the book of Isaiah. And then even now, 200 years after Isaiah, that a prophet named Zechariah would come along and prophesy exactly the way that Jesus Christ would be coming back into Jerusalem, marking Palm Sunday. So the four Gospels tell us all about that. Now, we spent a lot of time, like I said, in the last 4 weeks talking about the mock trial, how he was silent. We even spent some time talking about Jesus on the cross. What I want to do today is take us through a little bit and actually lead up to some of the steps through Palm Sunday, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and take us all the way up until Thursday, which is the Passover meal. And then for next week, we're going to pick up some and spend some more time talking about the crucifixion, obviously the resurrection. Amen? All right. So the context, right? We're going to move backwards a couple days. Today's Palm Sunday, and this is interesting, right? I don't know if you guys know, but I'm a nerd. I'm just going to profess it. I'm going to confess it. My wife's like, yep, totally. Yes, amen. It's important to kind of, I like to piece things together. It helps me understand. You guys have heard this, when you see the story, when you're reading your Bible, it's important that you kind of like visualize, like, where is it at? You know, I always say, like, when you get together with your friends and they tell you a story, don't you normally, they normally just tell you that? Some of them, I mean, if it's a guy, they probably tell you like three words. And it's like, this happened, and then. But if you're with your friends, generally there's like the backstory, right? Who are you with? Well, was it hot or cold? Who'd you go with? What were you wearing? You know, like all the details. Because if you just go straight to it, it's like, ah, that story wasn't that great. So when we read the Bible's full of that kind of life, that type of detail, and it all comes together. The Bible is a book all about Jesus Christ, right? And so We're going to see how all of this comes together. And to me, it's, I'm a map guy, you know, so I spend a lot of time and I get distracted. Like I'm like, I'll be working on the sermon and it's like, I look at the map. How far was it? What was the topography? Nerd. Yeah. Like who liked geography when you grew up? No? You're like, no. But that's kind of cool, right? Like you guys, the maps with the red and the thing. No? Okay, just me then. Well, there is going to be a little bit of geography in here, so just be forewarned. Anyway, we can't hop into the time machine, but let's go back, right? And the reason why it's important is because the Gospels come together and they all piece different things. The major themes are there. You're going to see them. And some of the Gospel writers give you some details. And another one will pick up over here. And some will say this, but then Luke will tell you a little bit more over here. And then John throws in this, and it's like when you're cooking, right? A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of salt, a little bit more butter, a little bit more butter. And it all comes together, right? The Gospels are kind of that way too. They all piece together an awesome part of the history and tell us all of it and complement each other perfectly. Amen? So we're going to spend some time hopping around even in the Gospels as well, particularly in Luke and John. But we're going to start Luke 19. I'm going to take you guys 2 days back. So it's Palm Sunday. Go back to Saturday and then Friday, right? The Friday before Palm Sunday is where the context of this passage occurs. And it is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Now, even before that, let me just say, they're traveling already. They're heading somewhere. What are the three pilgrimages that the Jews have to make to Jerusalem every year? One of them is a Passover. Did somebody say that? Is that you guys didn't say that? They just we said that. Somebody said the Passover. What's the other one? The Festival of Feasts. Yeah, and the one of Tabernacles. Right. There's three of them. Right. So this one is the Passover, and they're already on their way. So it's funny when you're going through. Oh, did I miss one? No, it's Booths. Right. It is. See. Thank you. Somebody corrected me. So anyway, I was like, squirrel. Sorry. Train of thought. They're already starting their way down, right? From the north, coming into Jerusalem. And that's the context. Jesus and the disciples are journeying south from Caesar Philippi to Jerusalem. And he's teaching in the villages along the way, and he's training the 12 disciples. So they have a deadline. You have to make it to the city by the Passover, because ultimately that's also the Sabbath, right? What's Saturday? Sabado is the Sabbath. So he's traveling. He knows he has to get there by Saturday. So Friday is a travel day for them. So let's pick up Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people there saw began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Jesus stood up and said to them, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Amen. So Jesus is coming already down through. And this is an interesting story, right? You guys know the story. Zacchaeus was kind of a shady guy. He was rich. He was a tax collector. And he would actually take a little bit of extra tax on his people. The people, Jewish people, hated him, right? Who likes to pay taxes up here? No, right? You're like, heck no. And so he was actually one of those, he was rich because one of the privileges of being a tax collector for the Roman government was you got to take a little bit of extra and whatever, hey, a little bit right here, a little bit right here, a little bit right there. you start to get pretty, he was rich off of the Jewish people, so they hated him. But the reason why this is important, right, because Jesus is already making his way down, and he identifies somebody, Zacchaeus, who is a sinner, but Zacchaeus repents. And the key verse that I'm going to spend, that I want to focus on, is on verse 9. Because Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of God came to seek and save the lost." Amen. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ came to die for all of us, not just for some of us, right? And I can give you, it's my own testimony about what my life was like without Christ. And we heard a little bit of the testimony up here. But Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus came to fill when we were fill us, Lord, when we were feeling empty. Jesus came to heal us when we were feeling broken. And so we're thankful that he did that, that he came to seek and save what was lost. Now, what's interesting, I've heard this, you've heard me say this before. How many of you guys, when you lose something, it's like you have to find it. Like it's like the splinter in your mind. You don't even need it anymore. And you're like, I don't even know what I wanted, but I gotta have to find it, right? That's just a lost possession. That's a little thing. How about, have you ever lost a kid anywhere? Anybody? Yeah, you lost him, right? It's okay, parents. We're not going to call CPS on you. It happens. We lost our daughter one time, 45 minutes at Disneyland. And by we, I mean my wife's family. I was so mad. I was running and going crazy. I was the crazy guy, like, looking at everybody. I was like, somebody's going to kidnap her. Like, it's a true story. It was my wife's cousin. There, I confessed it. It wasn't me. No. When you lose something, isn't it like, of course, losing a child, very valuable. When we lose little things, knick-knack things, doesn't it drive us crazy? Listen, every single one of us, before we knew the Lord, we were lost to the world. And Jesus loves us enough, what? That he came to seek and save what was lost. I always say I needed to be saved for myself before I came to Christ. So Jesus loves us that much. And so the reason why I want to highlight that is that the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Brothers and sisters, that's all of us. Amen? All right. So that's Jericho. He's going into that. So the first fill in the blank for today is the Friday before Good Friday in Jericho, Zacchaeus became a Jesus follower. Zacchaeus became a Jesus follower. That's what happened on Friday. Did you guys know that that's what happened on the Friday? You guys have probably all heard that story. But did you know that it happened the Friday before Palm Sunday? All right, see, we're doing something effective today. Well, every day we're in the Word, right? The second thing we're following is that he had lunch, and then we see, right, that he has to actually go somewhere. So that's the Friday. He eats a meal with Zacchaeus. He says, "I have to go to your house. All right, let's have some tacos or carne asada burritos." No, that's not what they had. They had lunch, though. It probably wasn't that. And then they had to make their way. Now, Jericho, I don't know if you guys know, this is the part where I geeked out and I'm like, how far is it? Jericho to Jerusalem is 18 miles, guys. It's Friday. He has to get there by when? Saturday, right? The Sabado, the Sabbath. He didn't actually go there. He goes somewhere else. He goes to a smaller town that's right by Jerusalem. It's a town called Bethany. Who lives there? Do you guys know? Yeah, Mary. That's a good, 50% of the women were called Mary back then. That's always a good guess. Mary's always a good guess when you're in. It was Mary, short for Miriam. I don't know if you guys know that, right? That's where Miriam is, Moses' sister. You guys remember that? So Mary was a very popular name. And actually, it's right. Mary and Martha and the brother Lazarus, they lived somewhere called Bethany. Bethany is 2 miles away from Jerusalem, right? So do the math. I told you, from Jericho to Jerusalem is 18 miles. Bethany is 2 miles away. How long did Jesus and the disciples have to walk on a Friday afternoon to get to Bethany? 16 miles, guys. I told you Jesus was fit. We're starting a new ministry. Joey started. It's called Jesus Fit Ministry. He's trying to get all the blood of Jesus was pure. Didn't have diabetes. Wasn't sugar. There's no triglycerides. I'm put him on the spot. We're going to start Jesus Fit Ministry because Jesus was cut. He was ripped. Guys, how many of you can walk 16 miles in one day? Here's the other thing. You couldn't even walk 16 miles downhill, guys. Like if we left you at Dunlap, or like you have to go all the way down to Reedley, you're like, forget it. Just leave me here. Call the ambulance. Call the helicopter. I'm going to die right here. Yes? Downhill. Here's the reality of what happened in this walk. Jericho is where? It's lower. It's 800. This is the topography. Geography lesson. It's 800 feet lower than the sea level, guys. Now, Jerusalem is, it's higher. It's about 3,200. Actually, a little bit less. Long story short, they had to walk 3,400 feet in elevation, guys. From Jericho, walking up, 16 miles. Jesus was ripped, brother. I'm just telling you. And the disciples too, yes? That's Jesus fit ministry, I'm telling you. So that's the backstory for this next portion. Jesus is now walking 6 days. Let's turn to John chapter 12 or follow along up here. John chapter 12 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived and whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. Then Mary took out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance and perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. He says, why wasn't this money? Why wasn't this money and perfume sold and the money given to the poor? Oh, yes. He was a thief. It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and he was a keeper of the money bag and he used to keep himself to some of the money that was put in it. Jesus said, leave her alone. Jesus replied, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priest plans to kill Lazarus as well. Man, how do you kill a person a second time? I mean, these people have no shame. But for the account of him, many Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Now, wow. I get tired reading, guys, let alone walking 16 miles. But on that night, right, here's what's important. You guys have all heard that story of when Mary broke open the nard and broke open the fragrance and she wiped. She one of the gospels says she even wiped them with her tears. You guys remember with her hair? Man, isn't that a true spirit of worship about what God has done for her? And what a God has done for us, right? During that era, of course, we talked about that perfume was worth an entire year's worth of salary. It was an act of pure love and of gratitude and of worship. And it was beautiful. You know, in your walk with God, when you're worshiping God, get ready for some critics to come along. Get ready for some people that really don't, maybe they're more religious than it is anything else. We have to be okay with letting people be criticized. Judas was a critic he was a scoundrel, right? He was a thief. And he was just looking out. He's like, oh, why didn't we do that? We could have done this. We could have done all this. You know what? In life, you're going to have those Judas Iscariots in your life where you just got to tell them, shh, I'm worshiping God right now. Shh, this is what God has called me to do. God has called me to give this gift. God has called me to adore, give this offering in this way. And Jesus receives it, right? And Jesus says, he's like, get out of here. Cállate. He's like, the poor are always going to be among you, but you're not always going to have me. He's already predicting what's going to happen to him. She did this to prepare for my burial, right? And it's foretelling about what's going to happen to Jesus on the cross. So the second point in today's message, the Saturday before Palm Sunday in Bethany, the fill in the blank is Mary anointed Jesus. Mary anointed Jesus. Now, do you think that Jesus was tired? He was tired, right? He was. Man, we just said he finished walking 16 miles and they had dinner. And the host, right, they had dinner. Mary, Lazarus, everybody's at the table. She does this. So the next day is kind of more of a, it's more of a rest day. The chief priests were there, right? And they probably slept pretty well that night. Imagine if you had to do all that walking. Now the next day, that was the Saturday, is the Sabbath day. So they're not doing a whole lot that day. They're resting. But now we come to Palm Sunday, right? Now we come to Palm Sunday. And I'm going to turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, you guys there? Or you can follow along, that's fine. John chapter 12, it says, the next day the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went to him shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. It is written, do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples didn't understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things had been written about him and these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed the signs, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. The whole world has gone after him. Amen. This is the big entry. This is the big moment. People have been hearing Jesus is full swing in his ministry, right? And we said at the time, the context of this entire thing happening is that they are under occupation by the Romans. And they're tired of being taxed. They're tired of living under somebody's rule. They want to be free. How many of you guys can resonate with that? Yeah, I want to be free, right? I don't like nobody to tell me nothing. I want to be free. That's the Jewish people, guys. And they're hearing all this. And Lazarus was with them. So they're his popularity at the time is in full swing. So they're saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord Israel. Blessed is the King of Israel. And he found the donkey we talked about. We read this, right? Why is this important? Because now we see it actually happening. Zechariah told us that it was going to happen 500 years before. And it says, don't be afraid, daughter Zion. Your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. And they didn't understand it. But later, they did. They went back and connected the dots that what Zacharias had prophesied was actually coming true. And so the palms, you guys know what the palms represent? Not the one in Las Vegas. Yeah, see? They represent victory. They represent victory, right? And that's why they were throwing them down. They thought it was like the entry of, they were expecting Jesus to show up on like a white stallion, you know, like here I am, and I'm going to free us from the oppressors. But no, he came in on a donkey. Do you guys know why he selected that animal? It was humility. It wasn't meant to be a political statement, guys. He wasn't here to say, like, look at me, I'm going to come and free, and we're going to win this war. And then we're like, it wasn't about that. He was coming to fulfill, give us victory over something that was far greater than even occupation. He was coming in to give us victory over sin, victory over death even. He didn't have military plans or political plans, right? And that's important because we'll even learn, even at the supper. You know, it's funny. Jesus is so patient. And we, husbands, we need to be more like Jesus. Man, your wife sits in the front row. She's amening right away. But because he's so patient, because the disciples, they're not that. Sometimes he's telling them the way he's going to die. He's telling them what he came to do. And they're still dreaming, right? Who's going to be the most among us? They're still dreaming. I'm going to be seated at the right or the left, right? I'm going to read more about that when we get to Thursday in the Passover. He didn't come for political gain or for even what they talked about, what they were looking for in terms of a victory, a military gain. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode in Jerusalem on a donkey. That's the third fill in the blank. And he came and... It's funny, this is where I mentioned to you, when you read the different narratives or the different portions of the gospel, We just read what John told us. Let's see what Luke has to say, because he adds a little bit more detail, which is really important. Luke 19:39-44 says, immediately after that, it's the same scene. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus says, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "Even if you had known on this day would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." See, the Babylonians, we talked about, had been exiled. The walls were rebuilt again. But somebody else, he's actually telling them what's going to happen again to them. Now, this is really interesting. John didn't give us this information, but Luke tells us what? From as he was coming in, what happened to him? It says, Jesus, what did it say? As he approached over Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "Even if you had known that this day would give you peace," right? Jesus' heart is broken. His heart is broken because he's coming and they don't get it and they turn their backs on him. And he actually knows what's going to happen to them. How many of you guys have been confronted with a situation where you know that somebody is in a place heading down a path that you know they shouldn't be on? And doesn't it break your heart? Don't you feel like Jesus is saying, "Man, can you just, if only you had known, if only you would trust, if only you would surrender your life, if only if you wouldn't be your will, but God's will in your life," doesn't it break your heart? I have to imagine that's a little bit the way that Jesus felt at the time. When he knew that he had the ability to, "If only you would trust me, I could save you all this grief and this heartache and this destruction that's going to happen to you, but you don't, because maybe the time is not right, maybe because you have a different idea, a different perspective." And so for those of us, here's the encouragement. Keep standing in the gap. Don't give up. God is good, guys. Don't give up. I mean that. Every one of us in here, people who give their testimony up here, prayer works. We have to keep praying and interceding for our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, our cousins, our friends who don't know who Jesus is. Our heart has to be broken. There's a song that we sing sometimes that says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours, Jesus." You think that Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem? He doesn't care about the city. He cares about the people. And so we have to be broken the same way. When we see it, it's like, we could be like, "Oh, well, you know." No, we have to care about the people. Jesus wept for the souls that were in that city. The song that we sing sometimes is, "Break my heart for what breaks yours, God." It's not all these things. It's not the things that we chase after, the things that we think is valuable in our lives. In 100 years' time, none of that's going to matter. The only thing that matters is souls. And we have to keep doing our part. So Jesus wept. And that was a Sunday. That was a detail that Luke gives us that John didn't. This is why it's so awesome when you read read different parts of it, because you'll get different little tidbits that kind of help fill in the whole story of the gospel narrative. Monday through Wednesday. Actually, let me go back. Sorry. Let me go to Luke. I'm going to keep reading in Luke 19:45-48. Because he already talks about, right? He approached them. He didn't leave one stone. We talked about what was going to happen. So after he took the ride, Jesus is at the temple. Right? When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. And it was written, he said to them, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests and the teachers of the law and leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. So the very next scene, after he rides into the city, he goes where? To the temple. and he starts seeing what's happening in the temple. It's just it's a remate in there. It's the best way I can describe it to you. That's the best way I can describe it to you. You guys remember the scheme that they were running, right? People would have to bring it in. They were trying to find a blemished animal you guys remember that? And people were coming in from all different kinds of areas, so they didn't have the right kind of money. So there was also, you wanted to buy the animal, but they were selling it there. And man, if you were desperate, it probably was a Passover, you're probably having to pay a lot. Not only that wasn't good enough. They were saying, oh, you're coming from, you have peso, you don't have dollar, you better go to that guy. He's going to change the money for you over there. So before I can sell you my little sheep, my little lammy, you got to go get the right money. Well, that person's taking a cut of it too. Where is this all happening? In the temple of all places. The big old remate in the temple of God. So Jesus, this is where you see him. What we see is a righteous anger, right? This is where you see Jesus saying, he gets a whip, he throws the money changes around, and he gives them a good talking to, and he clears it out. Because he himself says what? He says, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers. And this all happened, everybody was in on it. The priests were in on it. The Pharisees were in on it. Everybody's taking a cut. Everybody's getting rich off of the religion. And people are going to look at me like, well, what are you making off of this, Pastor? I'm telling you guys right now, with pride, not a cent. It's a true story. We're not here to do what we called to do because we're here to do because this is what God has called us to do. We did buy some new speakers. Those of you guys have been tithing. Praise God. It sounds a lot clearer. Praise God. I left the tags on them, and I was going to be like the way we do it, you know, leave the tags on for a long time, but my brother took them off. If it had a film of plastic, we would have left it on there too, but, you know. Anyway, that's a little testimony for tithing. But they were getting rich off of the money changing, off of the scam they were running at the temple, guys. And so he cleared the temple. The fourth fill in the blank, right, is on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday week are called Holy Week. So those weeks, Monday through Wednesday, he taught the crowds and the temples and the disciples back at Bethany. So he was going back in. He would walk the 2 miles, stay with Mary and Lazarus, then go back. Monday through Wednesday, he taught the crowds in the temple and the disciples in Bethany. How do we know it? Because Luke 19 tells us, right, 47 through 48. It says every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests and teachers of the law were trying to kill him. They couldn't find a way to do it because all the people were hanging on his words. So this is his routine. He sleeps overnight in Bethany, walks 2 miles into town. During the day, teaches the temple, heals the sick. He spars with the religious leaders. Here's what I'm going to ask you guys to do. A little bit of homework. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there's two chapters you should read this week. 19 we just read. Read 20 and 21. It's awesome when you get to see what God is doing, right? In here, you're going to see different things. If you turn to Luke, you'll see the parables that he gives, the teachings that he gives on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The parable of the tenants, paying taxes to Caesar, resurrection and the marriage, whose son is the Messiah, all the different teachings, the end time destruction. Oftentimes, right, we'll hear a message on it, we'll do a study, and we see it in just this little context. This is all happening during Holy Week. I would say, man, not all of Jesus' teaching are worth knowing. But I would say, man, some of these, as you're leading up to those last hours, man, I would say they have more. I shouldn't say this, but I am biased to as Jesus is getting closer to the cross, the messages that he's preaching and he's teaching about, they hit pretty hard. I'm just going to be honest. But all of the gospel is awesome. Every story. That's just me. Now, that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What happens on Thursday? And I know I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go fast. I can hear some of your stomachs already. You heard about the bacon-wrapped hot dogs we're going to have. I can smell them too. And they're free here. They're not $8 like if you go to the zoo. We went to the zoo yesterday. I was like, $8 for a bacon wrap hot dog? She said, sí, es lo que cuestan aquí, señor. I was like, okay. We're not eating bacon wrap hot dogs today. Different story. That was yesterday. Thursday. What happens on Thursday, guys? It's the Passover meal. It's your arrest. It's the prayer in Gethsemane and the arrest by the temple guards. Let me just say this. I'm just going to say this. Thursday in the Holy Week is also known as, it has a special kind of name. Do you guys know what it's called? It's called Maundy Thursday. You guys heard that word before? M-A-U-N-D-Y? Maundy Thursday? Have you ever heard it? No? And it's not like the Speedy Gonzales, like Maundy Tuesday, Wednesday. No. It's called Maundy Thursday. Short for mandate. It's also known as Commandment Thursday. You guys know that. If you're here, you might run into it. So it's not the Speedy Gonzales, Maundy Tuesday, Wednesday. It means commandment. Commandment Thursday. Because after the Passover meal, which I'm going to skip because I'm running out of time, I want to read this last passage of scripture. John 13, 34, 35. The reason why it's called Commandment Thursday is because that's when Jesus, after the Passover meal was shared, he says, I'm going to give them a new, what is it? A new commandment. I'm going to read that. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Man, that's hard to do, right? Because it's difficult. I love what Jesus says when he says these passages, because he says, people will know that you're my true disciples. You actually love each other. Not by how awesome, not by all the theology you know, not by the fact that you know now that Jesus walked 16 miles from Jericho to Bethany. He doesn't say how much knowledge we have about God. It's about how you love each other. People will know. People will know there's something different in our lives. People will know that there's a living testimony about how we live our life, how we love one another, how we care for one another. I'm going to leave you guys with that because we're running out of time. Here's my deal, right? Jesus is saying, man, as I have loved you, will you love each other that way? Will you sacrifice in the way that I've sacrificed for you? Some of you guys know, in your family, it's easier to sacrifice that way. But in the church, Jesus is asking for the same kind of commitment, the same kind of sacrifice. Not because it glorifies, it's not, I always say that it's not about the church, the big C. It's about the big C, the body of Christ, and glorifying. And if we do this right, Jesus gets the glory. We're building the kingdom. We're not building small little things. We're not building ourselves up. We're building the kingdom of God together. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to join me because I'm running out of time. I want us to just go ahead and come to our feet. Let's pray. Just pray because God is good. And we've been learning all of these things about him and how much he loves us and his commitment to us. But we always say nothing that we do. Yes, we are encouraged and inspired by his word, but heaven comes down when we start to pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you're teaching us. We thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and how you've already started to use it, Lord God, to open up our hearts and our minds to the beauty of the gospel. We thank you for all your sacrifice that you've done. You walked and you knew what was coming when you were walking down from Jericho to Bethany, and the next day you knew what you were coming to do, riding on the colt of a donkey to come in to a hero's welcome. But you know ultimately what it was going to cost. That your word tells us that you wept. You wept for those who weren't with you, and your heart weeps still today, just like ours weep and are broken for those who don't know who you are. It's our prayer today, Lord. We stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters that don't know who you are, our kids, our relatives, our friends and families that don't know who you are. Help us to continue to pray for all of them daily. You came to seek what was lost, to save what was lost. Help us to be your hands and your feet to do that. Help us to be on our knees in petition, in intercession for our brothers and sisters who don't know who you are. You came to die and surrender your life on the cross so sinners like us could have a way back to the Father. Heavenly Father, you are so good and glorious. Your word tells us that. You could have nothing to do with sinners like us apart from the son, apart from your the death of your son on the cross, apart from the blood that saves us. You could have nothing to do with us. And your word tells us that there's only one way to you. There's only one gate. It's a narrow gate. And it has a name, and his name is Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your sufferings. Thank you that you are God's perfect lamb that was slain for the covering of our sins. And thank you, Lord God, that we know what's happening, what's going to happen not only Thursday night as you're arrested and as we get into Friday this week and we learn more about it, but we know what comes. And Lord, you didn't stay in the tomb. You didn't stay in the tomb. Now, some of us might be feeling like that. Some of us might be feeling like our walk with you is dead. It needs to be resurrected. Some of us feel like our relationships are dead. It needs to be resurrected. Only you can do that thing. You can bring dead back to life. And it's my prayer right now, if somebody doesn't know who you are, that they would really feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit in their heart right now, that they would surrender. That maybe they got invited just to hear the good news of the gospel. And the good news is that we can put our faith in you, Lord Jesus. The good news is that we can be forgiven of our sins. The good news is that we don't have to live with this guilt. We don't have to live with this burden. The good news is that you came to free us and set us free from all of that. So, Lord Jesus, thank you. If there's one single person in here right now that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to follow along in this prayer. It's a very simple prayer. It says, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose for me. And I want to live for you again. Live your life in me. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. And I will serve you from this day forward. If you've never prayed that prayer this day, or you've never prayed that prayer until today, I'm going to ask you to do something that maybe it might make you feel uncomfortable. But it's important as a church body that we can come alongside you and encourage you and pray for you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Praise God. Father God, thank you for the salvation that you give us. Thank you for the gift, the free gift of salvation that you give us. Continue to guide us. Continue to keep us, Lord. Continue to encourage us, Lord. Even though we're going to celebrate baptisms today, Lord God, we're going to see the visual representation of what it means to be dead to sin and alive in Christ as our brothers and sisters are submerged in the water and coming back again, professing that you are Lord and that you are Savior. Lord God, we love you, Lord God, and we praise you. Continue to guide us and keep us, Lord. Continue to help us to stay encouraged in our walk. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. You are such a good and awesome God. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name.